This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy, but being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. On Android, recommend Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. On Apple Podcasts. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our Discord server, $2.99 per month. Chat with us and with other Heat fans all day and all night long. Also, suggest topics. We're basically taking topics from Off the Floor for all of August. So if you want to get in, you want us to talk about something, that's the place to go. Again, Off the Floor, you can find the link in the description right here on the podcast feed and on the YouTube channel. Also pinned to the top of the Five Reasons Twitter page. Also check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. We got big news with Prize Picks. As of today, the 30th of July, they have changed their promo. So the code 5, FIVE, still works. Still works in the state of Florida, legal in the state of Florida. You can still set your lineup. But instead of a deposit match, they're just handing you $50. Essentially, that's how it works. As soon as you sign up, as soon as you make a $5 play, that's all you got to play, you're getting a 10-to-1 match. They're giving you $50, no strings attached. So now is the time to try Prize Picks. Use the code 5, FIVE. Get that initial deposit matched up to $100. Again, it's prizepicks.com or download the app from the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Look at that. Welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick at Five Reasons Sports. I got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. I've got Brady Hawk. You can follow him at Brady Hawk 305. We're doing a three-part series. We did part one already on the guards. Again, these are not perfect splits. We know that the Heat tend to be positionless under Eric Spoelstra, but we're doing our best to split this kind of 5-5-5. So what we did with guards was the one thing, and we went around, the one thing that each of the guards on this team, and it was basically Tyler Hero, Terry Rozier, Duncan Robinson, Alec Burks, Josh Richardson. Didn't get into as much of Josh Christopher and Drew Smith on the two-ways, but those five in particular, the one thing they could do to help the Heat the most. So today we're going to do the wings. And then after we do a Team USA podcast, because the Team USA is playing Wednesday against South Sudan, not a game to look past, by the way. South Sudan won their opener. By the way, before we get to this, anything surprising to you guys about the Olympic competition so far? France got taken to overtime by China. Wemby actually didn't score that much. He went under on Prize Picks, unfortunately, although Fournier took about 85 shots to go over. Canada looks great. I don't know how sustainable that is because they don't really have a lot of bigs beyond Olynyk. But anything jump out to you guys so far about the Olympics?
I feel like everything's just kind of going as expected right now, right? In the sense of like we knew, I think a lot of people knew that it was going to be a very competitive Olympics, and it's already. I mean, it's been fun to watch. Like didn't France have a crazy comeback today? Like. There's just a lot of good talent all around right now. And I mean, we've seen that in the league already. So seeing it, you know, everybody playing for their countries, like it should be good, man. I'm excited to see how this plays out.
Well, Hachimura had a big game today. He went over He went over. We've seen, again, play it on Prize Picks. Use the code 5. All right, let's get through some of this. Well, who draws this one? I kind of feel like with this guy, we should each do one. Okay? So we got to pick a different one. So I'll go last, okay? I'll take the worst position here. I'll let you guys start. Brady, what is the one thing that Jimmy Butler needs to do that's different from what he's done before, or maybe improved on what he's done before, to help the Heat this season?
Well, I mean, playing a significant amount of games, I feel like might be where you were going to end up going. So I'm gonna let that one slide past here.
I was just going to use the word play, but that's fine. I was trying to come up with something else because I figured it wouldn't come back around to me.
No, it might. We'll see what Alex says. I want to say, if we're talking like real specifics here offensively, I think it's about, because we've seen him shoot more threes, and we've seen him lean into kind of like an aging game and try to find that three, and maybe that develops. But I think it's about making things easier for him and maybe leaning into the mid-range game a little bit more. Just even looking at the base numbers, like the attempts per game in the regular season have gone down over the last like three seasons with Miami. Like they've continually just gone down by like a half a shot per game. That I think that's the thing, that's that middle ground that I think makes things easier for him. And it's his game. It's where everything started. It's where he did most of his damage for a good significant part of his career. Just playing the middle there, where he can kind of not always have to play the pinball game where he has to run into people and be that wear and tear part. And that's what honestly leads to a lot of the stuff in the regular season where he is playing a certain amount of games. It's because he plays such a difficult game because he's getting the line so often that maybe if he made things easier on himself, and the three-point shooting's part of it, but I think even more so if he just kind of leaned into the mid-range pull-ups, into some easier shots, like to the shots that he does in the middle of the floor that he has liked. He usually goes to them other than, you know, sometimes he shoots the threes at end of games. But like when I think of that Chicago game where he worked that mid-range step back, like he likes that area of the floor that it does feel like it's more about prolonging his ability to play in the regular season, like make it easier on himself. And it feels like that part of his game would move the needle for this offense, to be honest, because a lot of guys, they're telling not to shoot mid-ranges and they're limiting, like Tyler, they tell not to shoot mid-range, as many mid-ranges. Terry, not as many. So if Bam's able to shoot a bunch of them, and I think they should start allowing Jimmy to kind of open up that part of his game just to make things easier on him.
What do you think, Alex? I'll let you, without getting into that one much, since we're going to have to come up with three different ones, where would you go?
I agree with Brady, first of all, as far as like the shot died. I think, you know, for one thing, he's been in the 99th percentile in free throws per 75, you know, his entire tenure with the Heat. Right. And I think that is impressive on its own. And that's why he tries to barrel to the rim so much. He's talked about it forever. Like he wants to run into guys. And we appreciate that about him. But for sure, like if you want to conserve him and have him be able to play more during the regular season and try to play at a little bit of a higher level, like it's easier on his body for sure. I think he's comfortable kind of settling into the mid range. And, you know, a lot of times it feels like he doesn't try to do that until maybe the playoffs or, you know, in fourth quarters of close games, it doesn't feel like that's what he wants to take a lot of times in those first three quarters during the regular season. And I think, you know, their offense is not something that you just can't get in the way of. Like, I think if he sees a comfy mid-range shot that's available, I think he should take it. You know, him taking another three or two per game as far as like, you know, mostly catch and shoot, I think would be cool too. But what I was thinking about was something we've already talked about before. And we talked about recently was, you know, maybe the defense comes back up a little bit this season. I think there was a pretty decent decline there. And I don't mean physical. I just mean like impact wise, right? Like results wise. I don't think he was nearly the same defensive playmaker in the regular season last year as we've seen in the past. You know, that was his best defensive skill throughout this tenure. I think that was what stood out the most on top of him being able to, you know, guard a lot of guys, guard up, guard down. I think his biggest thing was just his timing and being able to get his hands on a lot of balls, like deflecting, just in general, hounding guys. I don't think all of that was there. All the defensive activity, I didn't see that last season. So if he can get back to that, especially if he's not going to be, you know, with as much of an offensive load where he has to barrel to the rim, like we're talking about, if there's going to be less of that, then hopefully he can, you know, turn some of that energy into some more defensive activity. Because the Heat's defense was good last year. I think it can be better, right? If you're going to have to make up for some of the guys you lost, you know, good thing you brought Haywood back, all that. But if you want to try to, you know, get more out of what you have, I think Jimmy getting back to that level is a reasonable outcome and would help a lot.
There is an obvious place for me to go here. And then there is a basketball part that I could touch on, which I'm surprised hasn't come up because it comes up so much with Bam. Let me mention the basketball part first, and then I'll get to where I was actually going with this. So this past year, Jimmy shot 145 threes. Okay. He shot them at 41.4%. All right. The previous year, he shot 103 threes at 35%. Three prior years in Miami, 116 at 23%, 102 at 24%, 119 at 24%. I mean, you can't look at those numbers and say anything other than he's greatly improved his three-point shooting. He just hasn't increased the volume. And I know, and I'm with Brady on the mid-range and kind of working the mid-range, working those matchups. There's nobody better at that on this team, obviously, than him, seeking the mismatches and all that. But I've been reluctant to say he should shoot more threes. I think because I saw Dwayne do this, and, you know, there were moments with Dwayne, like 2015-16, and particularly the series against Purple Shirt Guy in Charlotte, where he went off. But we are getting to a point here. If a guy's going to shoot 41.4% on 145 attempts, he's a pretty good three-point shooter then. And some of the things that were talked about with him, like he had trouble with the wrist coming out of Philadelphia. I mean, if you go to early in his career, first year he played any significant minutes was his second season. He started 20 games, played all 82. Remember that? He played all 82. Thanks, Tibbs. And he shot 38% from three. And then he had other seasons, like with Minnesota. If you look at his 2018, well, he didn't play much 18-19 because that was the year he was traded. But if you look at the previous year where he played 59 games for Minnesota after coming over there, he shot 35% on 200 attempts. Year before last year in Chicago, 37% on 248 attempts. I do think that he could probably get it up to 250, 300 attempts. He's not going to shoot 41.4%. But could he shoot 36%, 37%, and then you've improved some of the spacing issues on this team? Again, I've been reluctant to say this because I fought this with Dwayne. Like that, when Dwayne sort of pushed to this direction, I was like, all right, the efficiency is going to go down when the more of these he takes, and he's going to get away from the things he does best. But as an older player, it does make some sense. Now, I will say one of my concerns, guys, is when he starts making them during games, then he tends to jack one up in clutch situations. That's not such a good three. And then we basically spend 15 minutes on the postgame show asking why he took the shot instead of moving the ball. So I have concern about this. But if I was to say one on-court thing, I don't know. Maybe he leans into it. If I'm going to talk in general, it's just this. Just more overall investment. I mean, I don't know what that will entail. Does it mean playing more games? Does it mean playing those games harder? Does it mean what Alex is talking about, which is getting back involved on defense? Because we talk about when he gets deflections, their defense looks different and all that. But I just think they need to see investment from him from the very start of the season, particularly with the questions about how he's going to handle not getting the contract extension. If his tone that's set in training camp and early on the season is that he's kind of in, but he's kind of out, and you don't know if he's playing, and you don't know if he's playing hard, this team is going to struggle. Like, so I come back to it that this may be the single most important thing is just his overall investment. But I'll just ask you before we move on to Hawkins. Do you guys want to see him take more threes?
Mm-hmm. I'm with it. And just a quick note, he took his highest percent of assisted threes last season since, you know, the early Chicago days, since 2015, which is, I believe, the first year that he was an all-star. If not, it was maybe the season before. But I just think him being more willing to take those catch and shoots, like we've seen, has really helped. And like sometimes, like you said, he does, like there was times last year where he took more than you would expect. So no, I don't really want him like taking a bunch of on-ball threes, unless you're talking about like, you know, he comes off a screen, a guy just leaves him wide open. That's a different story where he has time to set his feet, because we know he's not really like that skilled of a shooter where he can do it and, you know, off of movement. Like if he is just spotting up, like I like those threes. He gets when he sets his feet and, you know, guys are more worried about the drive as they should be. Like I like those threes. So, and, you know, if you want to conserve yourself, take those, keep taking those open ones. Take even more. Why not? Just don't, you know, jack up, you know, non-optimized ones, I would say.
Ethan, also the issue is that when you're saying for him to shoot more threes, now he's just purposely going to get to the free throw line more. Like he, whatever people tell him to do or like hint to him doing, he does the opposite. Because at the point of the season where he was shooting like 50% from three and everybody was asking about shooting, like wanting to shoot more, he's like, no, I just rather run into people. So like either way, he's just going to do the opposite and just play his style. But I think on the surface, I think he realizes as well, because you see it even like in his workout videos every offseason, like he knows ultimately at some point it's going to come down to him taking more of these. But the issue I have is like there, I don't know how he's going to put 250 to 300 up just because of the shots. There's just too many guys in this team that are going to be hunting shots. Like Tyler, Terry, and Bam, just not even talking about some of the young guys, are taking up such a giant piece of their shot diet that I just can't see Jimmy taking up and shooting that many, unless it's a scenario like last year where guys are in and out and maybe he's just the guy that makes up for it on some of those nights.
Yeah, we'll see. Like you said, if we ask him about it one way, he'll do the opposite. So, I mean, if you want him to shoot more threes, just tell him he can't make threes. I mean, it is crazy though, to look back. I mean, 41.4% is really good. I mean, when you have 100 plus attempts, that's, I mean, you can't look past the numbers at this point. He obviously cleared up some of the shooting for him. And I did. They're always, you know, people used to joke with him about the idea of pretending there was somebody in front of him with a hand up, even if there wasn't, just so he gets some loft on the shot. But with him, it doesn't seem to matter. Like he'll hit the line drive threes as long as he's in rhythm. So just kind of gets it up there. All right, we're going to talk about the guy who's most similar to him on the roster when we come back. Before we do, want to mention a great sponsor, Five Reasons Sports Network, our friends over at Better Edge. You can join all our tournaments there, but you can also bet there on a daily basis. BetterEdge.com. Use the code 5RSN. That's the number 5RSN. You get $20 to play right away. What makes this different from that other sports book you've heard about in the state of Florida? Well, first, you can find the line that you want. You don't just have to give them the lines that they use, the lines that they give you. You can go to the marketplace, but also there's no VIG. So that means you're not just giving away money to the house for free. So try it. BetterEdge.com. You got nothing to lose. To first try it the first time because they're giving you $20 to play. BetterEdge.com. Make sure that you enter the code 5RSN. That's the number 5RSN. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FiveFloor, name of this podcast. And you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, Jaime Jaquez. I just saw Bleacher Report said he was the third most valuable tradable contract in the league. Now, again, when Bleacher Report says this, and I used to work for them, but they don't really hire professional writers anymore. But when they say something we don't agree with, that's Bleacher Report. Say something that is positive in the Heat. We're like, look at that. Look what Bleacher Report just said. But But they described him kind of as an ultimate connector, you know, in terms of, you know, types of players you can plug in any situation. They're going to be productive. We've seen some of that this offseason. Now, he's already given us a roadmap, Alex, on what it is that he wants to improve on. And that was being a lockdown defender and a knockdown shooter. So he's already told us what he thinks will help the team the most. But then you see him in a lead role in Summer League. And like, those are not the things they're expecting him to do because that he was a primary scorer on this roster. What is the one thing that will help the Heat the most?
You know, it's actually tough because I think the clearest thing, like you mentioned, is the 3-point shooting. Like, he shot 32% from three last year. And he took, you know, wasn't high volume, but it's not like he didn't take any threes. He was taking about 3 per 75, which is okay, right? So I think you want to see him make more of those. And I thought what he showed in Summer League was really, really encouraging. Like, the shot looked really smooth. I liked the way that his base looked, you know, the way that he was just, you know, it felt like he was prioritizing setting his feet, right? And just kind of taking shots in rhythm. Like, I don't think he was forcing up any tough ones. Like, there was points last season that I felt, you know, he took threes that weren't really in his bag, right? And I'm not saying he, you know, he can't do them in practice or something, but in an NBA game, I don't feel like that was where he was at. And I think it got better. And what I saw in Summer League was really encouraging. So outside of that, I thought his defense was already pretty good for a rookie. I'm sure it's going to get better, you know, with more reps. The thing that would really help the most is, you know, like you mentioned, he's a great connector, but I think you need him to be more than a connector. So this is not necessarily a certain skill that I want to see Jaime Jaquez improve. I want to see him be aggressive with the reps that he does get, and where you get to a point where it's like, okay, this guy is coming off your bench. He might be a six man or whatever, depending on how the starting lineup turns out. And I think he is somebody who you give more usage to this year. You just have to. You see what he's capable of. You saw the jump. Like, even though he was already a good Summer League player before he stepped on an NBA floor, he turned it up. He played like three times better than he did last year. And just went insane over there. Like, I just think he looks so confident. And I think the skills that he's shown is stuff that he's already shown at the NBA level. So I just think you give that guy more reps. You give that guy more usage, more responsibility, more of an offensive load. And you maximize the rim pressure that you can get out of there. You run sets for him to get into the post. Like, I think those are the types of things that you will get, you know, the most out of Jaime. Because I already see, like, the 3-point shooting work coming into play. Not saying 100% he's gonna be knocked down now or anything like that, but the shot already looks better aesthetically, right, than it did before. So you're seeing the positives there. So if you're telling me you just get him to play his game more, I think that would be a huge help for this team and a big time boost for this offense. So, I mean, with the way that he's looking right now.
Brady, what do you think?
I agree with the part about playing his game, and you mentioned the post work. I think it starts with that. Like, I think it's not about him improving. I think it's about the Heat team improving on getting him those reps in that spot on the floor, like getting him the ball in the mid post and the baseline and wing, just because he's so talented there. Like, he had no experience at the NBA level, and that was the first thing he pulled out to begin the year. It was just, okay, I could just out footwork these guys. I can outmaneuver these guys. I could play a game where I can get decent looks at the rim or mid-range just off of me manipulating a defender. And it's like, now you get a full offseason, you get a full season in your rookie year, you get a summer league, you get all this training that they have to find a way to get him the ball in those spots just because he's so good there. And I just think, like, Miami leaned a couple years ago on mid-post reps, and I look at this roster now and I'm like, other than Jimmy and Bam, like, who are they going to? Because they had multiple options previously, that the guy that they need to just fully lean on and say, okay, this is the guy we have to work the ball through in this area of the floor, is Jaime. And then to play off that, to the one thing that probably he can improve on is being able to playmake out of it. Because that was kind of the one thing I'd say, like, he had all eyes on the basket. Like, I've talked about it time and time again. He doesn't search mismatches. Whoever's behind him, he's posting up. It does not matter. Like, that's just his game. He's just all about just going and trying to score. But I think it is going to come a time where he's going to have to make things easier on him and search those mismatches. And teams are going to start to double and hedge over. And it comes down to him improving and making those passes, be able to play make out of it. And that would be the next level for him. Like, that would change a lot for this offense and his game in general. But I guess also the easy answer is the 3-point shooting, because if he's shooting like 39% from three on decent volume this year, like, imagine the stuff he could do with the rim pressure and playing off closeouts and all that other stuff. Like, that unlocks so much of his game, and I think that's what he realizes, and that's why he's working on that specifically. But he's the one, I think he's probably the player the most that I think we could give the most answers for, because there's that much material with him of things you could see, because he's not like one thing. Like, he could go in so many different directions, it feels like, this upcoming season. So that's why in some ways they kind of just kind of like let him play the way he did in summer league, right? Like, is that crazy to say? Like, let him just be Jaime Jaquez. Don't say he has to be Jimmy Butler. Don't say he has to be a spot-up shooter. Just let him be him and just play across the board, because his team isn't talented enough to put him in a box, it feels like, at this exact moment.
Well, and I know you've talked a lot about not putting him in a box, and I think that is what you're saying is kind of the one justification for not doing what I've suggested, which is put him in a starting lineup. Because I what's going to happen if he's put in the starting lineup is he will get put in a box, depending on what position he plays. But let's just say that it's Rozier and him in the quote unquote backcourt. Okay. Or let's say it's Tyler and him in the backcourt. Jaime is going to be expected to be more of a spot up shooter. But if he's coming off the bench as the sixth man, say with Duncan, which again then gets into the issue of how are Hero and Rozier going to look as a starting backcourt. But if you're doing that, then you're basically just telling Jaime to come off the bench and wreak havoc and in all the ways that he can. But I'm going to go back to the thing he said, because I feel like offense is so natural to him. Like, it's he's going to find creases on the floor. He's going to find mismatches. All that. To me, it's what he said. If he ups his game even a 10 to 20% on the defensive end, he's going to close every game. Like, that's just where they're at. I mean, they don't have Caleb, and Spo leaned on Caleb a lot, and it's going to be Jaquez now who closes. And when he closes those games, because he's built for those moments, we've already seen that, he is going to flourish. He just needs to be on the floor. That's all. And so I think that will lead to Spo putting him on the floor more frequently. So I lean more towards the defensive side. He is an impossible player to put in the box. I don't really know what the comp, and people compare him to Jimmy, but I don't really know what the comp is for Jaime, because to have a player who's so offensively polished when he comes out. And so I think we've put a ceiling on him at times, because we're like, okay, maybe, you know, he's already a 4-year player, but he seems to love the game. Like, he's always in the gym. You see him working. The Heat feature him constantly on their social media for that reason. I think if he just defends at an even higher level, and he takes it seriously, and he takes it personally when people say he does not a good defender. And that is when you start from that base, that's really good. All right, going to get to one more guy here. Well, we got two more guys to get to, so we'll try to do these quickly. Haywood Highsmith. I'm going to let Alex jump in on Haywood, because I feel like Brady talks about Haywood a lot. And then, Brady, you can jump in on Pelle Larsson. What do we want to see different from Haywood this year, Alex?
Well, you know what? The thing with me, like, it's going to be kind of a boring answer. Like, become even more willing, like, as a shooter, right? And we've already seen a lot of growth with him in that, but I just don't want him doing much on the ball. I really don't mean that in a negative way. It's just not his role. Like, I do like his floater. I actually think that, like, when he gets, like, the rare times that he's down there in the paint, like, outside of, like, cutting, I think that floater is actually a good weapon for him. So I don't mind him taking that every now and then. I don't expect him to play make more. I don't expect any of that, right? Like, other than maybe as a short roll guy every now and then. I just don't see that for him. So for me, you know, keep working on the shot. I think the more comfortable he gets with that, the more time he's going to play, because his defense is already, you know, like, sub-elite, if you don't want to call it elite. Like, I think he's, you know, if there was an all-defense, like, 15, maybe he'd be on. Like, I think Haywood is a really good defender. And I think he might be even better than that, right, than, like all-NBA 15. I think he's that good of a perimeter defender. And what's holding him back from playing more is questions about his offense, because even though he shot a nice percentage last year and was a willing shooter, I think you got to see more. Teams are still leaving him open. And, you know, I don't think what you want is to have Haywood take like 8 threes a game just because teams are leaving him open. Like, I feel like just playing into a game plan, you know, a team's defensive game plan like that is not the move. So I want him to take more, but I don't want it to be only, like, I want him to take more to the point where maybe they're not leaving him wide open anymore. That's what I want to see. And then maybe he can start attacking the closeouts and hitting the floaters and all of that. Cause you know, he makes the extra pass too. Like, he's kind of an underrated passer, as far as just like making the right read. right, in the position he's in. But other than that, well, all I really need him to do is, you know, if you're the Heat, it's just keep taking those shots, become a more willing and more comfortable shooter, and you know, everything is going to go up from there. Like, he's probably going to get that contract he wants if he becomes a solidified shooter.
To me, the single biggest thing about him, and then I'm going to have Brady come in on Larson, is how many Caleb things can he do? Like, because there are things he does better than Caleb, but there are things that the Heat needed from Caleb. I don't think Caleb can do some of the athletic things that Caleb can do, sort of the herky-jerky stuff and all that. But then there were some times, like even late in the season, where I remember joking that he was, you know, MJ Highsmith, because he made this like reverse layup that I was like, where the heck did that come from? So there's some stuff in there. He's not like, I think, again, he's another one that I put a ceiling on when he came in and thought of him as kind of a fully formed player. They've gotten some more out of his athletic ability than I thought they would. But they are some Caleb-like things that I think this team is going to miss this year. And they need to get some of them pretty much from Haywood, Hawkins, and this next guy. So let's get to Larson. He has not had an opportunity to show what he can do in the NBA level, though we saw the development in the summer league. I was getting great reports about him from practice, but it wasn't converting necessarily because he wasn't making shots. Then we see him make the biggest shot of summer league to win the championship for them in overtime. From what you've seen from his college game and from summer league, what's the one thing, Brady?
I'll say, if I want somebody emulating some of the Caleb things even more than Haywood, it is Pella. Like, that's specifically like first year Caleb. Like, when I think of when Caleb first came in on that two-way and what he did to earn minutes and put himself in this position, it was one, being an energy guy, which I think Pella can be because he does so many different things. Like, when you watch him on the floor, it's the screening, it's the off-ball stuff, it's defensively. And I think that's the thing that ultimately got Caleb minutes and got put him on the map offensively. And I think that's where Pella's going to have to start. As much as I have honed in, specifically in summer league, I just felt like it was an environment I wanted to see him shoot the ball more because he is a good shooter, and I just want to see higher volume. But I think ultimately in this next part, I've said time and time again, when I picture him in lineups in the regular season, it's not as the movement or spot-up shooter. It's the guy next to the shooter. Like, it's the guy playing with a guy like Duncan, because I feel like he's the type of glue guy that could get really good opportunities for those guys. But ultimately, defensively, it's what's going to keep him on the floor. When we look at this roster with losing some of these defensive pieces, when I look at the fact of Spo's looking around to who he's going to utilize in his press the next possession, in some ways, I could see Pella and Haywood being at the top of that at times. Like, just seeing what Pella can do in that environment, just because he's one thing about him defensively, like, he is constantly going at it. Like, he doesn't take possessions off. Like, he is always just, like, getting around screens, navigating that, contesting, like, always moving and talking defensively, that it does feel like there's enough there that's what's ultimately going to get him on the floor consistently. That's why I have confidence in it. But it is kind of being an energy guy and doing Caleb things. It feels like they'll put him in that position where he can play off closeouts, because we saw some of that in summer league, shoot the shots that's there, and play that baseline. Because Jaime, we're talking about being more of an on-ball guy. They lost Caleb. Those were two of their biggest baseline kind of players that operated on that side of the floor. That it does feel like there is an opportunity for Pella to kind of be that backline guy that Jaime was this past year, honestly. So I would look out for that, but I am interested. And I will just add, with the Haywood thing, the other thing I'm interested in, because he's talked about the playmaking. When you talk about, like, operating from spots of the floor of Caleb, like, he's going to have to move away from those corners, it feels like, and play a lot more above the break. Like, it's going to be about when he worked that floater, like, he really got comfortable with it when he pump fake corner and kind of slide into, like, a baseline floater. But if he could turn that into, like, a middle of the floor shot where he's doing more floaters from those spots and operating from those wings, that makes the offense much more dynamic, that they don't have to, like, constantly put the guy in the same exact spots over and over. Because I felt like some lineups last year, Ethan, we talked about it, like, Caleb, Jaime, and Haywood became, like, repetitive, it felt like, at some points. Mm-hmm. That if you have versatility with Haywood and Jaime's a little bit more on ball, it feels like it won't be as repetitive. You could make these lineups work a little bit cleaner. So that's kind of the stuff. A lot of this stuff, and to be honest, it's funny that everyone these guys were talking about, it's like 3-point shooting and defense. It's like really, it's really simplified with a lot of these wings.
One guy who is going to play
I think we all agree on, and we had him on the podcast, is Keyshawn Johnson. Didn't see him at the end of Summer League because he turned the ankle, but I actually think, I mean, I think Larson's going to play. I think both can end up playing more than Ware. I've said that. And that's not because I don't believe in Ware's talent. I just am I'm looking at what Spo will feature, especially early in the season. And it feels like Johnson is one of these guys who's going to plug a bunch of holes for him. Alex, I'll let you close. The one thing that Johnson can improve on from what we saw in Summer League, which was incredibly impressive, obviously we all liked him, and from what we saw at Arizona in particular after he transferred there.
Again, I'm going to go with the easy answer here because there's no other answer that just is better than the easy one for this case. The reason that Keyshawn Johnson went undrafted was because of, you know, concerns about the shot, and he had a much better three-point percentage in his senior year than he did in all his other college years. I believe, you know, the, I believe this is true that he like made more threes in his senior season than he did in all the other his other college seasons combined. I got to double check that, but I'm pretty sure that's a thing. And look, I give him a credit because he, the shot doesn't look terrible. Like, I think aesthetically it looks decent. He looks pretty comfortable with it. Keep getting better at it, because that is that's all you need at this point. Because the other stuff, the way that he can plug in holes and do things athletically that other wing players just can't on this team, it's going to be useful in itself. Like, those skills are what's going to put him on the floor in the first place, or you're going to want to put him on the floor for. And I just think, like, if he, you know, the more comfortable he gets with that shot, you know, similar to Haywood. Obviously, Haywood is ahead of him there, right? Like, he's had years in this system, and, you know, he's not exactly the same type of player as Keyshawn at all. But both of them have had the shooting concerns. Haywood is much, I think, further in that timeline of improvement. He's already shot it at a, you know, at a good percentage at the NBA level. I feel good about him taking the open ones. I want to see what Keyshawn's looks like, right, playing, like, in the actual league before I say that his shot looks solid. It looked okay to me in Summer League, and I'm pretty sure he shot a decent percentage as well in those few games before he got hurt. So look, everything else he does, the defensive playmaking that he can, you know, access just because of length, athleticism, strength, the fact that he can guard multiple positions, the way that he can impact the game as a cutter, as a transition threat, as an occasional lob threat. I said he has upside to be used as a screener, and I'm sure he, you know, they'll play around with that if and when he does get on the floor, just to kind of use him in different ways and not just have him spotting up. You know, similar to the ways we've seen with Haywood and PJ in the past. I think he can be used in different ways like that. And so just for me, it's, you know, keep working on that three, and that's, you know, everything else is gonna, I think, work itself out from there for him.
Yeah, unless he's shooting under 30% from three for a prolonged period of time and they're playing 4-on-5, Spo's going to play him. I just think that's the direction we're heading. And again, you can see their wings are going to be used a little bit differently this year than they were last year. In the next episode, we will get into the bigs. Bam, Jovic. Of course, we'll talk about Bam after the Team USA game on Wednesday. Bam, Jovic has struggled a bit in that first game. Not so easy guarding LeBron after missing 3 weeks with an ankle injury. Ware, Love. What can Kevin Love improve in his 38th season? And Thomas Bryant. So we'll talk about those five. Make sure you check out the episode on the guards. Also, Prize Picks, use the code 5, FIVE. Better Edge, use the code 5RSN, and sign up for Off the Floor. Thanks to Alex. Thanks to Brady. Greg's on a mini vacation this week, but we're going to get him back in on Wednesday as well. Have a good one, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reason Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.